You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Tonight we're going into a lesson from 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to be reading a couple verses. I'm going to be reading verse 19, and it says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?'" And tonight I want to talk to you. This is the third lesson I've done on Elijah and Elisha. Tonight is coming into the picture. And I want to talk about the pursuit, or pursuing your ministry, or you and I pursuing what God has as a purpose for our life. Because everybody sitting in this room has a purpose in your life. Amen. I have no doubt about that. And figuring out what that purpose is and what God has in store for you is a key component. Although we're always, and we should always believe in the future and what's happening, many of us have heard too many stories of generations that have fallen or have failed to live up to maybe what the generation before them has. You have lots of examples where the ideals and hard work of previous generations that maybe even family fortunes have been left to people, and they have lost out on those fortunes, lost out on those businesses, lost out on those inheritance because of maybe becoming complacent or maybe having received it too easy. There are all kinds of cases that end in sadness that maybe you have heard about where individuals do not succeed the previous generations and they do not exceed the exploits of maybe generations before. But with someone, for example, as Alexander the Great, he conquered what was then the known world. He defeated the Persians by utilizing some very keen military strategies, and he could move his army more than twice as fast as the Persians could. And there was even times when they would be on the opposite side of the river. And Alexander, he had taught his military men how to use their backpacks and things as floating devices and to get across the river and sneak up on the enemy. His exploits become legendary in how wise he was at such a young age. He demonstrated sound reasoning that people much older than him would have demonstrated. One example is that he had come across a black horse that nobody could tame. It was wild, and everyone that tried couldn't tame the horse. And so Alexander the Great, he watched that horse, and he finally realized that the horse was afraid of his shadow. And he got the horse into a position where he couldn't see his shadow. And he was able to break that horse. And interestingly, history tells us that he named that horse Bucephalus. And Bucephalus accompanied Alexander to many battles and actually was buried with full military honors when the horse died. This was done by a person that went beyond what other people may have seen or the skills that other people had. He enjoyed the guidance of his father, His father was Philip of Macedon, and King Philip ensured that Alexander had the best education. He was taught by Aristotle, and Aristotle had a great pedigree, and he had learned from Plato, who had learned from Socrates. And so here you have this young man, Alexander the Great, who's had the top education that he could ever receive. He learned so much from his father and demonstrated such sound military tactics that led him to be such a great leader of an army. And while Alexander had exceeded his father, he had accomplished so much because of what his father had taught him. But his father never attained what Alexander the Great did. He was an example of someone that did not fall back on the training, did not fall back beyond the traditions of the generation before, but rather succeeded and became even more well-known than his father. You have similar examples of Elijah who was serving as a forerunner to Elisha. You have John the Baptist, who is serving as a forerunner to Jesus Christ. And although the scripture through Elijah inspired 7 known miracles that the scripture gives us, the Bible says and gives us illustration of 14 miracles that Elisha accomplished. You say, well, you know, he prayed for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. That is true. But still, 14 miracles had to happen. And in Elijah's case, it wasn't a backing up of the generation before. It was actually going forward of the generation ahead. You see that so vividly in the life of John the Baptist, who said, I've just come to be a forerunner, and I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes of the one who's coming after me. I'm preaching unto you repentance, but he's going to fill you with Holy Ghost and with fire. This was an illustration of the generation that was coming afterwards, that it could not be compared to what had already happened. Just as it was with Alexander and his father, King Philip, as it was with Elijah and Elisha, as it was with John the Baptist and Jesus. Tonight I want to talk to you about the pursuit of what God has in store for you, because it does not have to be less than what has already happened. It does not have to be insignificant to what has already taken place. It doesn't have to be a backdrop of history and the great things that took place however many years ago. I'm thankful for the history and I'm thankful for the heritage, but I am in pursuit of something greater than has ever happened before. Well, I am. Do I have anybody with me? Don't be nervous of what God has in store. He will lead you into the next realm of things that we could never imagine if we're in pursuit of it. If we don't want it, if we don't care, it won't happen. But if there's something in your spirit that says, I'm not satisfied with where I am in God, I am in pursuit of what he has in store for me. That prophet Elijah, he experienced great victory. He also experienced great depression. The highs and the lows had taken a toll on him. God walked with Elijah. He granted him power. That prophet experienced feelings of great victory, but he also experienced feelings of loneliness and wondered about his calling. At one point, he even wanted to die. But God was not finished with Elijah. Although Elijah heard from God and he knew that the Lord had sent fire from heaven and answered his prayers, and the prophets of Baal were destroyed, 450 of them, even though that great victory took place, he sat under a tree thinking that he was alone and all by himself. God later informed Elijah that he had reserved to himself 7,000 who had neither bowed down to Baal nor had given into the idol worship of Baal. The odds seemed much better to Elijah. He felt good to know that he was not alone. But the Lord knew that Elijah needed more than just the knowledge that there were 7,000 other people. He needed to have an understanding that the generation to follow him was going to do greater things than he had ever done. The seven miracles, you can read through the incredible miracles that happened through the life of Elijah, and they are incredible. When you look and you see that fire is called down from heaven and it consumes the sacrifice and the stones and the water, that's quite a miracle. He lays across the boy that's dead and life comes to him again. That's quite a miracle. He's fed by a raven at the brook. Amen. He's fed his food by a raven. That's quite a miracle. How many's had that happen to you lately? There's all kinds of things that happen in Elijah's life that were pretty powerful. But God was setting Elijah up to bring someone else on, a young man that had a pursuit in his mind that was greater than Elijah had ever accomplished. Someone who demonstrated hard work and someone who had a mindset for the kingdom. And all of a sudden God says to Elijah, I want you to go and anoint Elisha. And he finds Elisha plowing the fields right alongside the 12 yoke of oxen. Rather than speak to Elisha, Elijah simply goes up to Elisha and casts his mantle upon him. Such a tremendous illustration of the most prized possession that Elijah owned. He had no idea if Elisha would accept it. He had no idea that Elisha would follow. He had no idea what Elisha's full plans was. He just knew that God said, I want you to anoint this young man because there's something that I've got for him that is beyond anything that you've seen before. There's a pursuit in him after the things of me, and I want you to put your mantle upon him. And the miracle working power started to flow from Elijah's mantle that was undeniable. Elisha wanted to accept the call. You see in the verses that I read, he even asked for permission to go back and say bye to mom and dad. And Elijah says, you can do whatever you want, but I just put on your shoulders something extremely important. So you have to make a decision. And it wasn't long before Elisha made the decision. No, no, no. I've got something I'm in pursuit of. I don't know exactly where God's taking me, but I know he's got a plan for me. The Bible doesn't give us all the details of what had led up to that moment in Elisha's mind. It gives us the details of God speaking to Elijah to go to him. But we don't get to see the request or the desire or the hunger from Elisha's point of view that God had his eye on him, that he was in pursuit of ministry and a pursuit of the calling of God. Tonight, you and I must embrace that God call wholeheartedly. We must not only answer the call, we must also pursue the call. I'm not talking that everyone has to stand behind the pulpit and do public speaking. I'm not talking about everyone has to be in the music and in the choir or a Sunday school teacher. Those are just some of the pursuits that people go after. But the ministry is for everybody. The reaching is for everybody. The call is for everybody. And it's not just enough to say, I'm going to answer the call. You've got to have a pursuit for the call. A willingness to say, I'm letting everything else go. And no hindrance is going to stop me from the pursuit with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. callings require us to give up some things sometimes. Elisha gave up his plowing. Later on in the New Testament, you see that the fishermen forsook their nets to follow Jesus. In both cases, God recognized that they were entrepreneurs. They were industrious people. They were individuals that were hard workers. But they were willing to leave what they had to pursue after the things that God had in store. You must recognize that they didn't have guarantees of what was going to happen. They didn't know for sure where God was going to take them and how God was going to lead them and how God was going to use them. There was just a hunger and a desire for the pursuit of the call. They could not ignore what they were feeling in their spirit of how God wanted to use them for his kingdom. Their lifestyles were not the focus, but rather the focus was on what God had in store for them. What the purpose is. Listen, we can't be nonchalant about our call in our lives. Once you receive that feeling of pursuit, there's something vigorous that happens inside of you that says, I have to, I must, I will. The old generations would use terms like gospel plow, and I'm going to put my hand to the plow. And you hear terms like that, and we're not talking about maybe a literal plow tonight. We're just talking about whatever God has in store for you. It's greater than your circumstances right now. Whatever's happening in your life right now, what God has in store is much greater. Say, well, Pastor, I'm too young or I'm too old. No, no, no such thing. If you're breathing, that's all that's required. And sometimes, even when you're not breathing, God can still use you. Oh, there's proof of that. Elisha dies. They put him in the grave. And all of a sudden they come and they toss someone else in his grave. Oh, you can read it. And as soon as that other person touched the bones of Elisha, he came back to life. Elisha's dead. And as soon as the dead man that touched the dead bones of Elisha, he came back to life. So don't tell me you're too old or too young or you don't have enough energy or not. Even sometimes when you're not breathing, you can still be effective. Mama's prayers never die. Dad's call out to the Lord never ceases. There's something about the pursuit of the call of what God has in store, hallelujah, for your life that you never, ever get away from. Let me tell you tonight, there's something that God has for every person in this room. Pastor, you have no idea what I've faced today, this week, this month. That may be true. But I can guarantee you the pursuit of what God has for you is greater than what you're facing right now. Your focus can turn to what you're facing right now, and you can get caught up in that focus. Or you can say, I'm going to take a hold of the pursuit that God has for my life, and I'm going to let that work at his best convenience, at his best circumstances, at his best whatever he has in store for me. God, here I am. Here I am, God. I just want that pursuit to be number one. Elisha faithfully served Elijah from what some scholars would say is 11 years at least that he was Elijah's servant. Elisha recognized the importance of being an apprentice to such a great mentor. Previous generations understood the value of an apprentice learning the trade from someone who was a master of it, especially in a particular area. And in fact, many cultures, parents sought the best apprenticeships for their children. They considered it an honor for their children to learn from the pros. And that mentor also benefited from being able to pass along that incredible skill and trade. Therefore, society benefited as a whole. And that northern kingdom of Israel definitely needed a new prophet that would pass the days of Elijah, because they were living in idolatry and apostasy, and there was Baal worshipers, and there was going to need to be a man of God that would follow in the steps of the previous, that would have even a greater ministry than the previous had ever had. Many people would have wished for such an honor. You can see in 2 Kings chapter 2, it mentions the sons of the prophets. These individuals represented a guild of prophets. Not everyone could gain entry into their organization. And you see it said by the prophet Amos in his book. He says that he was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. He's not meaning that his father was not a prophet. He was instead meaning that he never really got into the group. And Elijah, he's prepared for the Lord to take him home, and he's going to soon go up in a whirlwind. And the sons of the prophets, they were not going to be the one chosen. God had anointed Elisha because there was something inside of him that was after the pursuit of the call. On three separate occasions, Elijah tried to get him to stay where he was at while Elijah went on further. Three separate times he tried to convince Elisha, just stay here. I got to go a little farther. I got to go to Jericho. Got to go to Jordan. If you're going, I'm going. That's what the response was. There's not a chance that I'm going to lose out on the pursuit of the call. And you see that on three different occasions. It could have been easy for Elisha to say, you know what? I've been following you for 11 years. I need a break. You've been going all over the place. I need a break. How long are you going to be gone? Well, I'm going to be gone for a few days, a few weeks. You know what? I think I'd enjoy that. You're going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks? I'm going to have a vacation. I've been serving you, following you, taking care of you for the last 11 years, I think I deserve a break from you. That's not what he says. It's the opposite. If you're going to Bethel, if you're going to Jordan, if you're going to Jericho, I'm going. I've got a pursuit of something that I can't get anywhere else. I got a pursuit of something that's greater than anything I've ever received before. And he would not allow Elijah out of his sight, but rather embrace the opportunity to go where Elijah was going. Elisha not only showed himself to be tenacious, but he also exhibited a strong desire of someone who truly understood that what God wanted to do, he wanted to have. There was a determination inside of him that if he saw miracles happen through the life of Elijah, he was ready to receive the power and the anointing that came through that mantle. And he was ready to do things not to brag, not to be greater than Elijah, but rather to pursue what God had put in his spirit that he could have inside of him that was greater than he had ever experienced before. You see it through the life of Moses and Joshua. Moses was such a great leader of the children of Israel for 40 years. And all of a sudden it's getting time for Moses to go off the scene. And Joshua, who's one of those spies that just said, you know what? we can take the land. We don't have to give in. We don't have to bow down. We don't have to be nervous or afraid. We can take it. And you see, as you step into the scene of Joshua's life, as Moses is now gone, and you see in the very first instance of the very first chapter that Joshua says, every place where we go, that's our land. That's our territory. That's what God has in store for us. Let me tell you, that's an authority that goes beyond what they even had before. Joshua says, you want more land? You take it. You want greater land? You get it. Amen. There was something inside of Joshua that said, I'm gonna go to levels that had never been gone before. And so you see this through the life of Elijah and Elisha as well. Something literally spiritual, supernatural was going to take place in Elisha's life. And the seven miracles that Elijah had seen happen turned into 14 miracles for Elisha. And that double portion was being received. Elijah said, what you're asking is, it's a tough thing. But if you see me when I go. And something inside of Elisha said, I will not be out of your sight. I will never be out of your sight. And all of a sudden, Elijah's taken up in a whirlwind. And down from that whirlwind falls the mantle. And Elisha picks up that mantle. And the first thing he does is he goes over to the Jordan. And he says, where's the God of Elijah? And he smites that water, and the water parts. Instantaneously, he knows that the pursuit that he has been after, he's received. I don't know what's happening in your heart tonight and in your spirit. Maybe you've worked hard this week so far, and you say, Pastor, I'm so tired, I couldn't pursue an ant. Maybe that's how you feel. Or maybe there's something inside of you that says, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Oh, maybe in the physical you're tired, but in the spiritual there's something yearning for something greater than you have ever experienced, something greater than you've ever seen. Amen. Just a week and a half ago, as we were having services in Upper Kent, us and Brother Gowan, we watched miraculously as at least 10 or 12 miracles happen instantaneously. I wish I could show you pictures of one of them. One lady was to have her toes all cut off. Totally black. You'll get to hear the testimony, I'm sure. And I looked at pictures on Monday this week. And the black has fallen off those toes and the pink has come back. And she'll not have any of those toes cut off. You say, is that still possible in 2024? Ah, yeah, it's still possible in 2024 if we're willing to pursue after the call of what he has for us. A lady who was deaf in one ear, God healed her instantaneously in that service. Let me tell you, things can happen if we will pursue the call. I know it's Wednesday. If I wasn't so fat and chubby, I'd run. I might trip over the carpet. There's something inside that's just not satisfied with the status quo or the complacency of the past. Or just the humdrum of another day and another service and another week and getting through another month and finishing another year. There's something inside that says, I'm ready for the pursuit of the call. It's not just for ministry and licensed preachers. No, it's for everybody that has a desire down inside that says, I will not live an ordinary Christian life. Music comes, so I'll quit. We're getting ready for a baptism. Someone's pursuing the call. Someone's pursuing what God has in store for them. The story of Elisha inspires us to pursue what God has in store. We must not only seek the will of God and the call of God, but you and I must pursue it. Everything inside of us that says, I will be part of what God has for my life. What he has for you might be different than the other person that's sitting beside you across the aisle, in front or behind. That has no bearing. The bearing is whether you and I are willing to pursue the dreams, the visions, the supernatural things that God has in store for his church. I've heard this a few times lately. I've been in service when this has been said. I was in church just a few weeks ago, and I heard a conversation that was happening right behind us in that service. And the comments that were being said . What you're a part of and where you're at today is not some type of a production. It's not a concert. You're going to feel the presence of God here. That's what was being stated. This happened just a couple weeks ago, where a father and son, his son wanted to know about the Spirit. They don't attend this church. And his father clearly stated to him, if you want to know about the Spirit, then we'll go to Mission Point this morning, because that's where you'll find out about the Spirit. As I was told those comments, I thought, oh God, I'm not interested in having an ordinary church. I'm not interested in just having a crowd. I'm not interested in having, nice production. That's not what will change the world, and it's not what will fill the longing inside of people's hearts. New carpet is not going to do it. Looks good, but it won't bring the Spirit. Okay? I'm thankful. I was excited about it. But it's not going to make Sunday better. That ain't going to change anyone's life. What is going to change people's lives is when they pursue the call, the purpose. Pursue what God has in store for them. And folks, when that starts to happen in people's lives, let me tell you, that's transformational. That'll send you to the next level, where God allows an anointing to happen to you. Not just the sons of the prophets, but to a young man who's plowing in the field. And we don't even know the whole story behind the scenes. All we know is God said to Elijah, go and anoint that boy, because there's something inside of him that I see, I feel, I know that he's in pursuit of something greater than he's achieved at this point. And I'm praying at Mission Point tonight that we don't become so stagnant or stale in our walk with God, where we get all crusty in the spirit. I want God to burrow through that part of my heart and say, I see a pursuit. Something inside that doesn't want to be ordinary and doesn't just want to be the status quo. We need people who are the best employees at your work. We want people who are the best examples at school. You're the greatest influence in the city. It's not because of your looks, not because of your age. No, it's because of the pursuit. Something inside of you that says, I refuse just to be ordinary. So I encourage you tonight, lay aside the circumstances of life right now that'll bog you down, that'll discourage you. Put your mind towards what God has for the purpose of your life. And let that be your pursuit. And I can tell you without any hesitancy that the pursuit of what God has in store will take care of the rest of the things that are happening in your life. God, I'm putting you right in the center. I'm chasing after the things. Stand if you would. It wasn't because David was perfect. David had lots of faults and failures. He had all kinds of things wrong in his life. But when the Lord said he's a man after God's own heart, what God was saying, even though he's got a lot of things wrong, he's in pursuit of one thing, and that's me. As the deer panteth after the water brooks. Something inside of David said, I'm not going to wait until I'm perfect. That'll never happen. I'm not going to wait until everything's right. I'll never get there. But I'm after the things that God has in store for me. And I refuse not to have what God wants me to have and to be. It's because of that pursuit that led him onto that field as just a young boy against a 9-foot giant. Who laughed him to scorn. Oh, I'm going to feed you to the dogs? What kind of a joke is this? You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He uses Goliath's own sword to cut off his head because there was a pursuit. The simple statement he made was, is there not a cause? And I feel like I could preach for another hour. I'm glad I got you standing because it just keep coming and coming. Is there not a cause? There's a cause. God's got a cause. And I'm going to step right into that cause, David said. Elisha said, there's a cause. I'm going to step right into that cause. John the Baptist says, there's a cause. I'm going to step right into that cause. Joshua said, there's a cause. I'm going to step right into that cause. Is there someone at Mission Point tonight that says there's a cause for this city? I'm going to step right into that cause. There's a cause for my family. I'm going to step right into that cause. There's a cause at my work. I'm going to step right into that cause. There's a cause. I'm in pursuit.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.